This is the Generation Example Podcast.
Today's lesson is on making wise decisions. Making wise decisions. The verse that we're going to surround this with is from the book of James. Everybody turn to the book of James, chapter 1. Book of James, chapter 1. This Bible that I have is called The Rock. This is an excellent youth Bible. I suggest you all get it. Go on Amazon.com and buy your own rock. And it's a reason why it's called The Rock. Anybody know? Who's The Rock? Jesus is our rock. Okay, our solid rock. Okay, book of James. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Come on, shout it. Amen. If you don't, say wait. Amen. Come on, y'all. What's wrong? It's in the back. That means you don't open up your Bible enough. You should know where that's at. Okay, book of James. I'm going to start reading. Book of James, starting at chapter 1, verses 2 through and including verse 15. I'm going to skip over a couple of verses. I'm going to skip over 9, 10, and 11. Okay, so listen closely. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. If you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him, and he will gladly tell you. He will not resent your asking. But when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to answer. For a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. People like that should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. They can't make up their minds. They waver back and forth in everything they do." Starting at verse 12. "God blesses people who patiently endure testing. Afterwards, you will receive a crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, no one who wants to do wrong should ever say, 'God is tempting me.' God is never tempted to do wrong. He never tempts anyone else either. Temptation comes from the lure of your own evil desires. These evil desires lead to evil actions, and evil actions lead to death." Making wise decisions. How many of you in here have ever been tempted? Everybody's hand should be up. I don't see everybody's hand up. Come on. You got to be honest with me. We can't fake the funk up in here. How many have actually told a lie? Everybody too, huh? Okay, how many have actually stolen something before in their life? You took something that wasn't yours. Come on. Even if it was a piece of candy. Don't have to be nothing big. Okay? So we're all on the same page, right? Exactly. We all in agreement there, right? Okay, so give me that next slide there, Charles. When you find yourself in a tempting situation, how do you resist? When you find yourself in a tempting situation, how do you resist? How do you resist? Ooh, man, this guy, you already read the handout, huh? Okay, often we give in unnecessarily because we're not prepared with a plan to resist. This lesson is designed to give you a plan to help you make a wise decision. Spell wise. Okay, each letter is going to stand for something during this lesson. I gave you that handout in order for you to actually keep it. Pin it up on your mirror in your room. Put it somewhere we can refer to. Making wise decisions. Real important in life. The reason why it's important is because you will be tempted to do something that you shouldn't do. No doubt about it. If you haven't, it's coming. And if you've done it, you know what I'm talking about. So everybody raise their hand about lying. How many people have been caught in a lie? Come on. Ain't nobody never been busted, caught in a lie? Yeah. How did that feel? Did it feel good? Were you embarrassed? Were you ashamed? Well, he said, no. It's coming. It was for a good reason, he said. Okay, think about it. Even if you got away with it, you didn't. It's building up. And at some point, you think that because you got away with one, oh, I'll try another one. Oh, yeah, I'm slick. I'm smart. I can get away with it. But God is watching you. And when you lie, you're lying to God. Because he didn't make you that way. That's not his intent for you to be that type of person. As Jesus is our model, Jesus was tempted in every way that you are. Every way. Yet, he never sinned. He is the only person ever to walk this planet who didn't sin. Okay? You guys need to remember that and actually hold on to that. So as we go through this lesson, we're going to read some scriptures. We're going to go over some situations and some questions. And all I ask is that you be honest with yourself. And the reason why I ask you to be honest with yourself is because you are only fooling yourself if you're not honest. You're not fooling God. God knows. God sees. And it's like in the book of James, he says, if you want to know something, you got to ask. So making wise decisions require wisdom. Wisdom only comes from God. You have to ask God for wisdom. After you lived as long as me, you'll have a little bit of wisdom is from life. That kind of wisdom could be good or bad because life can beat you up. Okay? So as we go through scriptures, I'm going to be sticking some points that I want you to actually remember. Okay? So let's get one thing straight. In this world today, I don't want you to be fooled. As you listen to radio, as you look at TV, as you look at ads and newspapers, everything you do today is pointing you away from God. The music you listen to. Come on, I like rap. I like R&B. But what is it talking about? Sex, what? Money and drugs. Sex, money and drugs and killing and all that. There's no more love songs. I just love the way you walk. The way you talk. It's no more of that. The shows you guys watch on TV. Come on, shout out some of your favorite shows. Somebody shout out. Basketball Wives. Wipeout. America's Homer's Funniest Videos. Okay, good, good, good. Now listen, half the shows you guys watch on TV, sending the wrong message. So when you want to see all those reality show TVs, do you really think those people act like that? I'll give you guys a good one. You guys see The Voice? You guys listen to The Voice? You guys like that? Everybody thinks they have talent. Think people can't sing. Come on, if I could sing, I'd be singing. I'd have been a rapper a long time ago. But let me show you something that's real funny. They have two new judges on the show, Mariah Carey. And who's the other one? Is it American Idol? Well, I don't know. They're all the same to me. What's the other Nikki? What's her name? Nikki what? Now, listen. It's a known fact. Everybody in the music industry knows that those two ladies don't get along.
Oh, my gosh.
Am I right? But they put them on the show together. And they put them on the show together so that you guys can see them argue and fight. And they do that so that you will watch the show. Interesting, huh? Ads for clothes. What are ads for clothes? Ads for clothes have so much sexuality behind them, don't they? Don't they?
Yes.
To get you to try to buy their clothes. So I want you to remember one thing. This world is not set up for you to praise God. You have to learn to do that on your own. And you can only do it by making wise decisions, because you will be tempted. Okay? So give me that next slide, Charles. So when we spell wise, W-I-S-E, each letter stands for something. The W stands for wrestle with your weakness. Wrestle with your weakness. When faced with temptation, most people don't even put up a fight. They just give in. But just because you're weak in a certain area doesn't mean you're incapable of fending off the enemy. You've got to stop giving in and start hanging in. There's a spiritual battle being waged for our lives and our loyalties. The first step to victory is to decide to stand and fight. Book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of darkness in this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places." I'm going to read you my version. This is from my youth Bible. It says, "For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms." So your battle is not against other people. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. And I want you to take this to heart. God is alive. Jesus is alive. So is Satan. Y'all listen to what I'm saying. When we start thinking that we're strong enough to fight Satan, you just lost the battle. And Satan has no power over you, but what he does do is influence you. He puts those small little things in front of you that he know you like. He don't make you reach out and take it, but he just puts it right there in your grasp. You guys understand what I'm saying? And he's tempting you to take it. He's tempting you to reach out and say, "It's nobody looking. I can get away with it. Oh, nobody will find out. It'll be my secret." But who's watching you? God. That's right. So you have to learn how to wrestle with your weakness. Anybody in here ever wrestled? You know, I used to wrestle with my son when he was little, but he was a ninja, so he used to jump out at me and, you know, surprise me. We'd roll over on the floor. Everybody's wrestled, right? But when you wrestle with something, you're struggling with it, aren't you? You're trying to get advantage over it. Whoever it is you're wrestling with, you're trying to be the one on top, right? pin the other guy down, right? Am I right? So when I say wrestle with your weaknesses, you got to recognize what you're weak to. The devil's going to put that temptation in front of you that, ooh, you just can't resist. Because it just makes your knees weak. Oh, he's so cute. Oh, man, she is fine. Whoa, man. It's going to make you wrestle with it. Or how about this? You know something? I didn't like the way she looked at me. So you know something? I'm going to say something back. Because you just don't have that strength inside of you. That's your weakness, is to bite back. Or you know something? I'm tired of dude bullying me. You know something? I'm going to give me and my partners, we're going to raise up on him. Huh? Y'all feel what I'm saying? You got to learn to wrestle with your weaknesses. You have to overcome your weaknesses. But first, you got to recognize what your weakness is. So you got to be honest with yourself. You have to literally sit down and be honest. You got to look in the mirror and not fool yourself. Think you all that in a bag of chips and you're really not. That's right. Okay? You have to learn to wrestle with your weaknesses. That's W in wise and making wise decisions. Let's go to I. I is identify the issues. Come on. Who got some issues up in here? I know I got some issues. Come on. I got some. You know, I ain't going to advertise them or nothing like that, you know. But I got some issues. Sure I do. Everybody in here got some issues. Am I right? Am I right? Yes. It says the enemy tries to con us into thinking that every sin is no big deal. He tries to get us to rationalize our behavior by minimizing the consequences. But we know better. Every sin has its consequences. And they're often more serious than we think. So we need to counteract this strategy by thinking through the real issues. When faced with temptation, think, what's really at issue? What's at stake? You guys ever think about that? Identify the issues. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8 says, a man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let me read to you my version in the Rock, the Youth Bible. Make it plain. It says, don't be misled. Remember that you can't ignore God and get away with it. You will always reap what you sow. Those who live only to satisfy their sinful desires will harvest the consequences of decay and death. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. You got to identify the issues. You got to say what's at risk. So let me give you an example. When I was coming up, I got a little brother. Every fight I got in when I was coming up was because of my little brother. And I was raised that, you know, you the big brother. You're supposed to take up for your little brother, you know. So he'd be out there playing or whatever, man. He'd come home crying. I said, what's wrong? He said, Joseph slapped me upside my head. I said, well, why he hit you, Mark?
I don't know. I didn't do nothing. I didn't do nothing.
Lying. Straight up lying. But this is my little brother. So next thing you know, I'm out there, man, why you hit my brother, blood? You know, why you hit my brother? And I'm in a fight. I'm fighting 2-3 dudes. Because he done messed with everybody. Everybody done slapped him upside the head. After a while, I found out my brother was just a habitual liar. He lied all the time. Now, he's 50 years old, but he just stopped lying. I'm telling y'all the truth, y'all. He's 50 years old. He finally grew up. 50 years old. That's my little brother, though. I love him. But he's a liar. So, what's at stake? What's the risk? Worst thing you can do is be classified as a liar. That's one of the worst reputations you can hold. It's just a barefaced liar. So you need to identify the issues. If that's you, you need to have a cleansing or something. You need to change. Okay? So W, you're going to wrestle with your weakness. I, you're going to identify the issues. You're going to be true to yourself, what it really is. Because there's a lot more at stake, even though you think it's just a little lie, even though, oh, it's just a little lie. Let me tell you what I used to do. My parents would tell me, you know something, I don't want you going over there around the corner, down over that hill, back over there, and don't you go over there. I go, okay, Mom, no problem. I go right over there, boy. Mom at work, she don't know. Until a neighbor, Sister Johnson, you know, I saw your boy around the corner over the other side of the hill. I get home, she said, you was around the corner, around the way over where I told you not to go. You been caught. Now, do you compound it by lying and saying, Sister Johnson lied. She lied on me. She don't like me. Or do you just come clean and say, yeah, and take your punishment? See, it could be a little bitty thing. And the consequences of it will be greater than you ever expect. I'm going to have to break y'all up over there, man. I can see that right now. Okay? Identify the issues. Identify what the issues are and what the real consequences are. It's no little lies, y'all. Don't even fool yourself with that. And just because you got away with it once don't mean you got away with it. It just means it hasn't came back up on you yet. Okay? Let's go to the S. This is making wise decisions. Let's go to the S. It says, strike back with scripture. When temptation stares you in the face, you usually don't have time for your devotions before you must make a decision. But that doesn't mean you can't counterattack with the Bible. When tempted in the desert, Jesus didn't have his Bible with him, but he bludgeoned Satan to death with verses. Bludgeons, he beat him over the head. Okay? Now look at this. I got it highlighted. Well, it's not up there now. We had to do something. But listen to this. Regular Bible reading will help you arm against the enemy. But it's even more effective if you do regular Bible memorization, especially verses in your area of weakness. How many of y'all read the Bible every day? Come on, be honest. Come on. How about once a week? How about once a month? Do you read it at all? Listen, you got to read your Bible more than when you come to church. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Scripture is the most powerful tool you have to fight temptation. Listen to me. God's word is the most powerful thing on this planet. It will help you in every area of your life. Especially when you're tempted. When Jesus was in the desert, Jesus went in the desert 40 days, 40 nights. He didn't eat. He didn't drink. He was at his weakest point. And that's when the devil came to tempt him. At his weakest point. Remember I said W is wrestle with your weakness. That's when the devil gonna come at you. At your weakest moment. And when he came at Jesus, Jesus beat him back with scripture. So you should know, and I don't mean John 3:16, and I don't mean Jesus wept. You should know at least one scripture by heart. At least one. Just one. And if I asked you what John 3:16 meant, you couldn't tell me. You could recite it, but what did it mean that God so loved the world? If I asked you that, could you answer me just that piece of that scripture? I know you can, man. You got all the answers. Go ahead. No, I didn't ask you to repeat the rest. What does just that piece mean that God so loved the world? What does that mean that he so loved the world? How much? Infinitely so. Very good. Thanks, man. God so loved the world. Listen, he loved us more than anything he ever created. Us. Us. You. Me. He loved us so much before you were even born. He sent his son to sacrifice his life for you. Because he knew you would be tempted. And he knew you would fail the test. He knew it ahead of time. But he loved you so much that he gave you a plan. Come on, we're talking about this plan here, this wise plan, right? God got a plan. God got a plan for your life, too. But you need to ask him what it is. If you don't ask, you'll never know. You'll just walk around in life. And then when something falls on your head, you want to know why. Okay? It's real important, y'all. Psalms 119, chapter 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Psalms 119, verse 11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Hiding the word in your heart is memorization of verses. It's memorizing God's word. You only need to know one. Once you know one, then you'll know two. After you know two, then you'll know three. Before you know it, you can read a whole chapter of Psalms because it'll mean something to you. And when you get weak, that's all you need to do is repeat scripture. Just say it over in your head and it'll put you back on the right course. How many of you guys ever been camping? I used to go camping all the time, man. Back in my day when I was a little boy, we didn't have all that modern stuff that y'all got. We had a flashlight and it was dark. Before you walk anywhere, you had to point that flashlight on your path so you could see where you was going. God's word does that for you in life. It lights up your path so you know which way you're going. So you don't get lost. So you don't get off track. But if you don't read your Bible, I used to tell people, you know something? If you're a hunter, it don't do you no good to go out, man. You're getting ready to hunt you some food for your family, man. You got your gun, Jack. You see that deer. You see something that you really, I need to feed my family. But you ain't got no bullets in the gun. You can't go over there and beat no bear with the gun. See, so if you have a Bible and you don't read it, it's like having a gun with no bullets. It's useless. Does you no good. Or it's like having a sword that's dull. A sword. See, I grew up, man, we always carried knives, you know, so I got a little knife. I always got a knife on me because you never know when you need to cut something. I'm just saying. But I don't carry around no dull knife. My knife is always sharp. Even this little thing right here, it'll cut you up if you mess with me. I'm just telling you. But, okay. So you got to wrestle with your issues. Excuse me. Wrestle with your weaknesses. You got to identify your issues. Third, you got to strike back with scripture. Let's go to the E. The E is escape the enemy. Escape the enemy. One of God's greatest promises is that he always provides a way of escape from every temptation. Sometimes it's flight. Just get out of there. Sometimes it's fight. Put your dukes up. Boldly stand for what's right, even if it means standing alone. Either way, know this. There's always a way to beat the pressure. God always, in every tempting situation you are faced with, will give you a way to get out. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. He's going to give you an exit. But if you don't get your weakness under control, if you don't wrestle with it, wrestling is really just facing it every day. If you don't identify what your issues are, if you sit there and try to fool yourself, oh, you know, I'm strong. I could do it. You got to realize you're weak. That's identifying one issue right there. Then you got to fight back with scripture. So if you don't know scripture, you kind of almost done lost the fight already. You don't got nothing to beat them back with. You don't got nothing to beat the enemy back with when they coming at you like that. And remember, we said you are not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against Satan and his power over this world. Okay? So you need to learn how to escape. Now, when I grew up, man, it was kind of, you know, you got a little title that you wasn't too proud of if you always ran from a fight. I'm just being truthful. But nowadays, come on, people don't fight no more. They shoot. Am I right? I shared a story this morning. I minister boys in San Francisco in the neighborhood that I grew up in. I grew up in Bayview Hunters Point, San Francisco. I still live in that community. I mentor boys. I got this 13-year-old boy that's in one of my groups. His name is Fred. Fred is 13 and he packs a 38 in his waistband all the time. When I talk to him, I say, Fred, you can't come here, man, with your gun. He says, but Brother Cottonham, I can't leave the house without it. I said, why not? He said, because where I live is gangs. And if they catch me without it, I'm dead. It's a real issue, y'all. I didn't have to grow up with that. But you do. It's nothing for somebody to feel ostracized, picked on, bullied, and then come back and shoot up the whole class, even though you didn't do nothing. This is a reality. So sometime, you know something? You just need to break on out of there. And it could be as easy as, you know something? I'm going to let this slide. My pride ain't been hurt that bad. My reputation ain't been suffered that bad. You didn't talk about me that bad. You know something? God bless you. And you bounce on out of there. But every now and then, you're going to have to stand by yourself and fight. But you can't fight with your fist. You're going to have to fight with scripture. You're going to have to be the bigger person. Y'all feel what I'm saying? It's serious, y'all. It's serious. So let's go to this next slide. These some questions. Whenever you want to make a wise decision, all you got to remember is this word wise, W-I-S-C. And in this W-I-S-C, these are the questions you need to ask. On W, what weakness must people wrestle with who are tempted in this way or whatever way it is you're going through? Because you might be faced with somebody else who has an issue, and they bringing it into your area. They all up in your face with it. Well, you need to realize, what are they wrestling with? It'll help you make a wise decision. On the I, what's the real issue? What's at stake here? Not only for yourself, but for that person that is in front of you. What's the real issue? What's at stake? The S, what does scripture say about this situation? The Bible is full of every answer you need in life. Trust me. If you read it from front to back, you'd be surprised at some of the stuff that's in there. About everything. There is not a subject in there that is not covered. Not one. The E, if this were you, what would be your best way of escape? W-I-S-C, wise. Now I'm going to ask you guys about some situations. I want you to think about it. Some stuff we've already talked about. Here's one. Put yourself in this situation. You've missed your curfew again, but you've got an excuse that's so lame, it will probably work. Come on, you missed curfew again, but I got an excuse that's just so lame, I know I can pull it off. I can pull it off. Mom and dad ain't gonna have a clue. Do you really do it? What's the excuse? I don't know. I missed the bus when you wasn't even at the bus stop. You use that one. You know, my friend dropped me off last. You know, they went and dropped everybody else off first. When you said, you know something? I want to drop me off last. Come on, I used to do that. Drop me off last, blood. Drop me off. I won't ride with you. You know? Huh? How many excuses? Well, you know something? The movie didn't start on time. That's the one my kids used to use all the time. Especially my daughter when she turned 16. When she turned 16, she lost her mind. I asked her right now. She married, grown. I said, Trenise, what happened to you at 16? She said, Francisco. Oh, that's lame, too. Dogs don't eat paper. He said, what about the excuse the dog ate my homework? He chewed it up, but he didn't eat it. He peed on it, she said. Okay, question number two. Come on, now this is a real one. Listen to me. Question number two. You just want to smoke that stinking joint because you're sick of the hassle you get for not doing it. Peer pressure. You know, you hanging out. Go ahead. Or go on and take a sip of this. Come on. Peer pressure is real tough, y'all. You don't want to be labeled. You don't want to seem like you're not cool. You know, I got the swag and everything going. You know, you want to fit in, am I right? And every now and then, let me just make this statement. You will not wake up in the morning and all of a sudden say, I'm going to try drugs. Yeah. You're not going to wake up in the morning and say, you know something? I'm going to go out here and just give me a 40. It's not going to happen. Somebody is going to introduce you to it. Do you have the strength to say no? I hope so. Because it's going to happen. Listen to what I'm saying. If it hasn't already happened, wait till you go to college. And when you get ready to go to college, you tell me which college you're going to, because some colleges are known for partying. Not schooling. Partying. Okay? Yes, sir. Say it now. Your mom is right. Because after you die, she going to go in your grave and beat you to death. Okay. Okay, here's one. Ladies, this is for you. It says, you know he's ready to cross the boundary of your clothing, and you crave the intimacy. Okay, listen to me. And I'm going to put this out there. The brothers, oh, they looking. They looking you up and down, in and out, sideways, backwards. They looking at you every which way they can. And when you advertise what you have, they thinking about it. You putting them in a place where they have to make a decision. Now, I know, ladies, my wife loves to be intimate, hold hands. You know, even right now, we've been married 34 years and we still hold hands. Oh, isn't that lovely? I can still make my wife blush. I got it like that, though, you know what I mean? I do. Yeah. But women love intimacy. And you know something? Everything you guys see now is telling you to compete. The way you dress, the way you guys act. I watch all these shows on TV, these dating shows, Bachelor and Bachelorette, and I'm going, really? Online dating. Really? So you can actually put yourself in a compromising position, not only for him, but for you, because what you want is totally different from what he want. But the way you dressed is making him want it more. Do you compromise? Come on. Am I right? Yeah. This is real issues. If you're not there, don't go there. If you are there, turn around and go the other way. Cut the brother some slack, ladies. Y'all fine. Ain't no doubt about it. You guys are beautiful. But you know something? You don't have to advertise. Advertise your beauty, not your assets. Brothers, you need to stop looking at them like that. Because Jesus said it straight up, that if you lustfully look at a woman, you have sinned. Lustfully. Now, earlier they asked, what's the difference between looking lustfully and something else? Okay, so let me, y'all look closely. If I look at a young lady and I go, man, she is pretty. She is real pretty. Man, that's cool. But then if I look at her like, ooh, man, oh, snap. Big difference, huh? Or ladies, y'all look at a boy and y'all go, oh, he is cute. He's cute. Man, God, I like he's all buffed. Oh, that's good, you know. Yeah. But when y'all look at him like, girl, look at him. Ooh, he is fine. Oh. It's a big difference, y'all. I'm just being real. Y'all know me. I'm Uncle Jesse. I keep it real. I'm just being real. Okay? So listen, it's as simple as this. When you in a car is going down the street, and you look out the window, and you see somebody, and you go. Better check yourself. Come on. I'm just being real. Okay, so listen, I want you guys to go away with this thought. I want you to go away with this thought. Listen. Learn to make wise, W-I-S-E, decisions. Learn to make wise decisions. In the areas where you are weak, ask God to give you strength. In the areas where you have issues, confront them personally with yourself. If you need to talk it over with somebody, I'm always available, but I don't want to hear you gossip. Tell me what your real issue is so somebody can pray for you. We got volunteers here. You guys got mentors, parents, aunts, uncles. You got somebody you could talk to about your issues. One thing I want you to do. Can I get everybody to promise me this? Come on, everybody. Can I get you to promise me this? Say yes. Read one scripture a day. Just one. How long do it take? Because the excuses I hear is I'm busy. I didn't really have time. The Bible's boring. Come on. Find a scripture and memorize it. Just one. You can read that same scripture every day. That one scripture every day. Until you actually hide it in your heart and you can repeat it just like that. That's important. And then learn to escape. When you are tempted, when all those other things fail, look for the exit door. Look for a way out. And take it. Don't compromise yourself. Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's really not worth it. Love yourself more than that because God does. God loves you more than you can ever, ever, ever imagine. And I love you next. Okay, let's stand, guys. If you have any questions afterwards, please come see me or one of the volunteers. We will answer all your questions. And before you leave, please put your Bibles back. Not right now. We're going to close in prayer. Let's have everybody bow their heads. Let's have everybody be reverent right now. And as I pray, you pray too. You pray that God reveals those things to you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you mostly, Lord, for your word. Your word is so powerful. It's so enduring. It's so loving. We love your correction in your word, love. And God, we love everything about what you do in our lives. And we ask right now, Lord, I ask that you would just empower these young people, Lord. Give them the boldness to go before you. Let them know that they can stand at your throne, Lord, with any request that they have, Lord. And you are so eager, so ready to listen to and talk to them and answer their prayers. As we go forth, Lord, I ask that you bless their week, that you bless their family, their friends, and that you address all of their concerns. It's in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
This was another Generation Example podcast. For additional podcasts, community, and resources to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ, visit generationexample.org.